Last time, beginning a journey, if you will, together to refresh. Some of this is going to be a refresher to you. It's a refresher course. Mike, do you guys still do FTO training? Do you do refresher stuff? Felony traffic stop, all that kind of. It's just refreshers, right? It's just refreshers. So some of you, and again, we have such a wide variety of people in here, new converts, older converts, carnal, spiritual, fleshly. We have all different kinds. Some in here, it's just going to be a refresher. Man, I'm glad I heard that. Man, I needed to hear that again. I needed to know that that's what God would do. And for some, it's not going to be a refresher. For some, it'll be a refresh and establish for others some basic, establish for the first time for them, some basic Bible truths of who we are as believers. To begin that journey, we looked at the covenant. Last time we were together, we pulled the church constitution out. We read one side of it was the covenant of the church. That's quite a bit to live up to right there in itself, isn't it? On the other side was the Baptist acrostic. And we began by utilizing that to at least cover some basic Bible teachings, and this will morph into other stuff. We began with the B of Baptist. And I keep saying it over and over again, so we know this. We believe the Bible for all matters of faith and practice. We don't say things like, well, this is what I think. This is how I would do it. You know, if Jesus were here today, this is how he would do it. No, that's being presumptuous. We do it the way God hasn't changed his mind. He says, I'm the Lord thy God. Change not. He might operate differently, but he's not changing. It's still the same. We studied Nehemiah and all those doors and those gates, and they were a picture. Now we know why Jesus flipped over tables at the sheep gate, because that was where salvation. It was very important for people to understand how we get saved. They weren't sacrificing. It's not by the blood of bulls and goats. Those were pictures of the Lamb of God that John said that came to take away the sins of the world. And so we began with B. We believe the Bible for all matters of faith and practice. And we looked briefly at inspiration. I didn't deep dive into it. Just skimming the surface. This is not a college level course. We're just studying the Bible. We talked about inspiration last week. We believe the Bible is inspired. How do we know that? The Bible told us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Isn't that wonderful that he'd do that for us? We have a God-breathed Bible. That is wonderful when you understand that God did that for us. Take your Bible, if you're prone to write in it, write at the beginning of it. Dear whoever. Lindsay sent me a picture today, or not a picture, but she told me that Mia's Bible has something written in there from her. I'm behind. I have a few that I need to get out. Pump the brakes. Because I'm not just handing out Bibles. I want to write something in there that down the road it might inspire them. It might provoke them. Hey, I got this when I was a little child, dedicated. And this is what the pastor of that church wrote in there. Here's the people that were in attendance that day. It was like a dedication of like Samuel. And Samuel, we said last time we were together, there's not a word that he spoke. When these kids are down here at the altar and God might speak to them, and resurrect them into some wonderful ministry one day. Not a word Samuel spoke fell to the ground. Isn't that wonderful? And so it's wonderful when you understand that God did that for us. He inspired a Bible and he preserved it. We'll get to that. As I was studying this week and preparing to continue, the new convert in me, asked this question. I do talk to myself. I asked myself this question. Why use constitutions, acrostics, and confessions of faith if we have a Bible, even if it is God-breathed? Why would we use those things? Has anybody ever asked that question? We had catechisms when I was in the Catholic Church, and do you believe this? And they have the Apostles' Creed. I'm sure you've heard things like that before. We have a statement of faith for our church. We believe in a confession of faith. I don't know if anybody knows what our confession of faith is or where it came from, but there was people before us that passed that thing on to us. We'll cover that again. I said this after I asked that question. Good question, Michael. We could, in execution, just look at passages, as we will. I try and give passages to reiterate inspiration. Why do we know the Bible's inspired? Because the Bible tells us of itself that it's inspired. And we will look at passages that will draw the conclusions themselves that have formed what others then wrote of what we now use, such as the Baptist's acrostic, B-A-P-T-I-S-T-S, and each one of those tells us what makes us unique. We're not a denomination. We are Bible believers. And for several reasons, we're Bible believers. We're not part of the Reformation. We did not come out of the Catholic Church. We did not protest the Catholic Church. There's been a line of believers since Jerusalem. And we can go back. There's been a line of believers all the way back. They weren't part of something. They were something. They were believers. And so I don't want to, however, reinvent the wheel, but we use things such as the Baptist acrostic, or, and Joe and Mike would be familiar with this, and others, we use and understand the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. When people came here as believers, interestingly enough, there was the Dutch Reformed people. They were believers, not the Dutch Reformed, but there was other believers in that area that were fleeing religious persecution. There wasn't just one Reformation. Martin Luther put that 95 thesis on the door at the Wittenberg in Germany. He was trying to reform the Catholic Church. We're not doing that. We're not reforming nothing. And every one of those had their own Reformation. John Knox, the Scottish Reformation. If you'll notice and you do church history and you go back, what they were trying to do is a people were trying to say, we are the ones that God has blessed. Whether they were Scottish, whether they were English, whether they were Jewish, whether they were whatever, German, they were trying to do all these reformations. Why? Because God so loved the world. But you have these people that come out of the Deutschland, they come to South Africa and they're believers. Huguenots, you might have heard that name before. Waldenses, there's all these different names. They were just believers. The Paulinses, if I'm pronouncing that right. And they're leaving all of this stuff and they believe these things to be true because they find them in the Bible. Martin Luther finally got a copy of the Word of God and he read it and he said, hey, it ain't lining up with what you folks are saying. Why do you think they kept the Bible from us? You go into a Catholic church, when I was a kid, there was no Bible there. They had the Council of Trent. They had the Pope. The vicar of Christ means he is the voice of God. No, he's not the voice of God. I'm a messenger of God. I'm not a voice of God. John the Baptist said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And what was he doing? He was crying. The prophets are subject unto the prophets, and they'll say what the Bible says to say. And he was called John the Baptist, by the way, because he baptized. Why? Because baptism was a picture. All of that stuff unfolded. So we looked last week at the B. We follow, we've been passed on, the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. Study that out. Not going to do it tonight. That's why doctrine matters to me. I'm not trying to embarrass Joe. That's why a preliminary sit-down matters to me. Because if we're going to keep the perpetuity and the purity of the church, what are we going to do? We're going to hold to what we know to be true and make sure that when we send messengers out, they know what the Bible says. Paul said to Titus, he said, what? I left you there in Crete to set things in order that we're wanting. I left you in Crete to ordain elders in every city. I left you in Crete, what? To hold fast the word of faith as you have been taught. I sat down in shark-infested waters with no questions and no answers ahead of time, with heroes of the faith, and they asked me questions and tried to trick me. I needed to know my Bible, because if I go somewhere else, I need to be able to teach them the Bible, like Paul said for Titus to do. I don't want to, however, reinvent the wheel. We're not going to come up with a new confession of faith or a new acrostic. I want to use the things that have already been given. I as well don't want to throw away things that others have provided for us through time. Biblical doctrine has been the measuring stick for fellowship and unity as well as exclusion through the years. As time passed, after the birth and development of the church and other churches being planted, the devil was always on a mission to destroy it. Just research church history. Doctrinal purity maintains the church. Jesus asked them, he said, Who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah. And he said, but Peter, who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, exactly, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Churches out there today, they're not following the God of the Bible. There's many of them out there. How do I know they're not following? Somebody said to me one day, you can't be critical of other people. Oh, I can't? When God gives me a book to critique other things? I said, okay, but the Bible tells us, Jesus warns us of wolves in sheep's clothing. I said, would you happen to do you believe there's wolves out there? He says, of course there are. I said, would you just mind just naming one for me? Well, that's not for me to do. Okay. What about when Paul told Timothy, was it Colossians? He told the church, warning every man. He said the minister of God is to warn every man, to present every man. What are you going to warn him of? That's a poor minister of the gospel. That's a poor dad if there was a puff adder in the backyard that he doesn't tell his son that there's a snake in the backyard. And shame on a lot of people. You know why Mr. Smiley just holds up his Bible? This Bible tells me who I am, and it's all of this stuff, and then he departs therefrom, don't he? And we'll talk about that, that Satan himself presents ministers as what? Angels of light. As time passed, after the birth and development of the church and other churches being planted, the devil was always on a mission to destroy it. Doctrinal purity maintains it and unites us with other believers. Do you remember Elijah? Do you remember Elijah was pouting in his cornflakes? What did God say to him? God said to him, he said, I've not left. He says, God told Elijah that he left 7,000 that had not bowed their knees to Baal. He said, Elijah, don't think you're out there all by yourself. And I know it's getting to a day and age, you wonder who you can fellowship with. I cannot reiterate it enough, the blessing that this church has of the existence of 100 years. 100 years. And not only that, the church that planted them is still a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, and the pastors are in fellowship with one another. Show me that somewhere. Do the ask your friend Google. How many of that is happening today? Why? Because, yes, there's been ups, there's been downs, there's been lulls, there's been difficulties, there's been things that have come upon it. But guess what? If you stay true to the Bible, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the church is attacked, what do? We go back to Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the... It's His battle to fight. We just have to stand. Doctrinal purity does that. Those doctrines that united as well divided through the years were compiled and passed on as a collection of what they believed, and they became statements of faith. Early churches had them, and we have them. And it lets those united with us know who we are. And it lets others know who we aren't. And so when things, statement of faith, constitution, acrostic, came about, it identified us as to who we are. We had a visitor, Senior Chief Petty Officer, this last Sunday came here. Senior Chief Petty Officer, E8, Brother John. And he was here looking for another church, and he asked us, I don't know if I've ever had anybody ask me this. I've had people ask me what kind of philosophy we've had. I've had people ask me, are we elder run or are we pastoral run? And again, the answer to that question is in the Bible. There's elders in the Bible. Peter said, the elders which are among you, whom also an elder? He said to him, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind. So are we elder ruled? You ask the average Baptist, I don't know. Because we don't know our Bible. And then we wonder why our churches have struggles. We need to know our Bibles. The pastor just doesn't need to know his Bible. As I've said to the men frequently, you need to know your Bible. Amen. And so they came about, the statement of faith, constitution, acrostics came about. It identified us as who we are. You can't say, nor has it ever been able to be said, I am a Bible believer, and it stand alone. You ever said, well, I'm a Bible believer? Sooner or later, somebody's going to say to you, well, what does that mean? Right? Why do you say that? Because the Mormons believe the Bible. The Mormons pass out a King James Bible. Go do a tour. I've done a tour in their little facility and put the little headphones on the cassette deck, walking around in my little fanny pack and my headset, walking around in the Mormon Museum and everything else, sat in a live recording of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir with tears running down my eyes. And guess what? An angel of light, Moroni, was trying to deceive me by what was in that museum. The Jehovah's Witnesses say they're Bible believers, don't they? They just come up with a new translation. So they take the New World Translation. Isn't that wonderful? They take John 1 and they say, in the beginning was a word. And the word was with God, and the word was a God. So it doesn't make Jesus God. He's just the brother to the devil. Now, how do you know that that's not true? Unless you read your Bible. In the same chapter, he comes as an angel of light to destroy the parenthetical phrasing that we just studied the other day. In the beginning was the word, definite article. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him, was not anything made that was made out without him. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, so on and so forth. You come down, it tells you all that. There he is. And we're supposed to believe it by faith. And when you do, here's another aspect of the Bible. The Bible's transformational. It transforms. It just happens. How does it happen? Because this God of the heavens and the Spirit of God indwells man and says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And we believe it and we start seeing it. And what's it do? It builds our faith even more. Struggle sometimes to see people stay in church for 20, 30 years and can't fight their way out of a wet paper bag with Bible knowledge. Catholics say they're believers, Bible believers. And the list could go on. Or you may hear someone say, here's another one, well, I'm a follower of Christ. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, if you're going to say that, then what does that mean? If you follow Christ, then what is it you're following? So we unite over truth, and that truth comes from the Bible. My fellowship, hear me on this, my fellowship, my friendships, my marriage, Douglas, my mission, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. Well, I'm a believer. Do you know how many people have come through this church through the years? They're, one or the other have sat in church and said, I'm a Bible believer, but my husband or my wife goes to another church. Do you know how many have come through here? And I sit there and I say, how can that be? How can that be? We are to marry, yoke with someone that believes the same thing. And I'll say this. You may say, well, I don't believe Baptists are the only ones that can be saved, obviously. But if you're saved, sooner or later, you're going to find a Baptist church. Because they're teaching things that are not... We don't believe in just sprinkling the forehead. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We don't believe in unscriptural tongues. There's so many things we don't believe in. So how can you stay if... Listen, I'm not going to dig in a trash can for a sandwich. I want to go somewhere where it's... I want to sit in a church where I can... Can I just say this? Relax a little bit and know that the leadership and the people have my best interest at hand. Not just safety for security purposes or physical for nursery purposes, but spiritual for death and life purposes. And so, some may say I'm a follower of Christ. If you're going to say that, then what does that mean? We unite over truth, and that truth comes from the Bible. My fellowship, my friendships, my marriage, and my mission is tied together with Scripture, and it defines me then as a Bible believer. You may have people say this to you, oh, you're one of those Bible believers. You know what they're saying? Oh, you really take all that stuff literally, don't you? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's helped me. Listen, it got me from being a drunk. Kept my marriage together. It did me some justice. Financially doing pretty good because I looked at the principles in Scripture of finances. Physically looked at the 61 years of age. Look at this, huh? There's a lot of things I push away from at the table. Why? Because it ain't good for me. Leviticus wasn't there just to tell us what we couldn't eat. Leviticus was there so we didn't have to only talk on prayer meeting night about all the people that were sick. And so we believe the Bible for all matters, watch this, of faith and practice, and it begins to form our doctrinal statement. We see this in practice in Scripture. For every doctrinal truth, there's a spiritual practice. Well, where is that in the Bible then, preacher? With Paul or Saul of Tarsus. Acts tells us, you go back and read them later on, Acts tells us of his story in Acts chapter 9. It tells us again, he gives his story in Acts chapter 22. Paul explains and expounds upon his testimony to others of what he believed and practiced and how he came to know the Lord. He does it again in Acts chapters 26. I won't read them for sake of time. He as well opens, watch this now, he is writing Scripture and he's still, the prophets are subject unto the prophets. He's writing Scripture and he's still in obedience to Scripture and the practice that takes place. He opens the letter he sent to the church at Galatia and he does the same thing. He gives his statement of faith, if you will. This practice further expanded with believers to where a statement of faith would be established or a confession of faith to which we still have today in churches. Why? Because it identifies us. What's the trend now? Well, I'll tell you what, people just aren't coming to Baptist churches anymore. I think it's the name. It scares them off. So you know what we'll do? We'll take the name off the sign. We'll trick them. Isn't that what we're doing? Because what's happened is that statement of faith, this is who they are. Well, I don't believe that anymore. You know, I was raised this way and I was raised this way and I did this and I did that. What does the Bible say? It would be a shame for us to take that off. Now, can I say that there's some very hardcore Baptists? There's some very softcore Baptists out there? It's really a shame. Why? Because straight is the way and narrow is the gate and few there be that find it. Don't you think if there's going to be many antichrists, there's going to be several other ones that are false? Listen, who was it that tried to... Where do you think the Roman Catholic Church came from? When Rome saw the progression of the early Christian believers, they said, we got to get in front of this. And then he made it what? The state religion. I said something the other day, and I know it might chap some people's hides if you're a Charlie Kirk fan. I am not a Christian nationalist. They will give the defense that there are verses of Scripture, Jeremiah and Isaiah and everyone else, they were strong advocates for their nation. Can I just help them out with the Bible? That was Israel. They wanted Israel to be strong. Does God want America to be strong? No, God wants the church to be strong. You want to make something great again? Make the church great again. Stand for holiness. Stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I'm not a nationalist. Somebody asked me, well, you got these flags in here. Yeah, we represent a lot of... Do you realize some of the demonic symbolisms that are on some of those flags? You know what that says to people, though? We are Christians. We are in the United States. We had a South African flag in South Africa. And we believe in the love, the Jewish nation... I'm not a Zionist. We got to know our Bible. There's all that stuff on YouTube nowadays. It is saying to somebody when they come in here, we love law enforcement. We love military. We love we are an lottie-dottie everybody church. And so we develop a statement of faith. Paul did it. He started out his statement of faith to the church at Galatia. It developed, this practice further expanded with believers to where a statement of faith would be established or a confession of faith to which we still have today. What was his name? Jeff Robertson came by. He said, I drove by. I got saved. I need to be baptized. He said, I figured I'd go to a Baptist church. Well, go figure. We got folks in Baptist churches don't even understand that theology. And he came by and he stayed here for a while. We are united and divided by the Word of God. And thus we should know it and find fellowship, unity, and mission from those that we do. Jesus expressed it like this. Matthew 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall Here it is. Confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When a person comes down here and makes a public declaration of their faith, you know what they're saying? I've confessed God, and he shall confess me. You know what immediately takes place after that? Then you need to do what the Bible says. When somebody joins the church, we asked with Derek and Taylor when they joined the church with Emerson. And Emerson doesn't join the church till when? Emerson doesn't join the church till when? Till she comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then she comes forward upon that public declaration. She gets baptized and she's added to the church. She's just sanctified by mom and dad right now. See how that went? And all those verses of Scripture are there in the Bible. We don't usually make a big deal out of it. We see somebody baptized like Peyton or McKaylee or Noah or something, and they're added to the role as a member. And I know our statement of faith or our constitution says you have to be a certain age to vote. That doesn't bother me, because you know why it doesn't bother me? If you're old enough to talk in here, I think you're old enough to vote. Here's why. Here's why for me. If there's a matter between two people in the church, what's the Bible say? Take those that are least esteemed in the church. You know, it's amazing to me sometimes when somebody doesn't have some big name tag or title on them, and you just ask two little kids, what do you think? Guess what the little kid's going to do? They're going to most of the time decide right. Because they don't have skin in the game, and there's not blood relationships to them, and they haven't been their buddy and friend for 20,000 years. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. He said, think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. He said, I just want to clear that up real quick. I didn't come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Really, God? You want a son to be against his father? And the daughter against her mother? And the daughter-in-law, this is Jesus' word saying that. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law? And a man's foes shall be they of his own household? Is this real that I'm reading this? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That's a confession of faith. This is what I believe. And you read of the previous believers to us, their confession of faith cost them their life. There's people in the Congo and overseas and other places on mission fields. You know what their confession of faith costs them? Their family, their friends, their jobs, their lives, everything. Go confess Christ in a predominantly Muslim country. Go confess Christ in a predominantly Muslim home. Go confess Christ in a Catholic, go to Italy and profess Christ to your family. And you know what's going to cost you? Everything. And that was their statement of faith and their confession of faith. Let me say this as an offshoot of that. We have several other passages of Scripture warning us not to have those that try to bring other teachings into the church of what to do with them. Matthew 7 and verse 15. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. He said, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. He said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That draws a line, doesn't it? 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, thou hast fully known my what? Doctrine, my statement of faith, my religious beliefs. He said, you've fully known them. He was writing them. He says, you've fully known my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. He said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution because of their statement of faith. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue, he said, but watch this. He said, but continue thou in the things, what? Which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Sunday school class is where we learn the doctrines that we believe in, the statements of faith. We have conversations about it. Well, what about this? What about that? 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. And that from a child, we have our children in here on Wednesday night. And that from a child, what? Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We're not entertaining them in some other room. We're teaching them Scripture. Why? So that they can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So they can be protected from this world and all of its elements. And they can have an eternal home in heaven with Christ Jesus. But evil men, he said, and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. From a child thou hast known the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Verse 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here's one more verse of Scripture. I'm landing. 1 Timothy 4. We've already read this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. You come down to verse 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That's what we're doing tonight. And so as believers, we unite over the Bible and use it as a guide for all matters of faith and practice. Last week we looked at inspiration of Scripture, which then led us tonight to the education of Scripture. We have established that the Bible we follow is given to us by inspiration, and now that we have it, we need to familiarize ourselves with it educationally. We teach it, we preach it, we live it. Scripture even tells us that in many places, none more specific than this, 1 Peter 2. Watch what it says of Scripture. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We're going to watch something take place physically over the next few years. Emerson is going to continue to grow. You know why? Because she's desiring the sincere milk of her mother. We come to church, and you know what we ought to be doing as well? We ought to be growing. We'll see Emerson one of these days running around like all the other feral hogs and doing all that stuff. We might even see Emerson one day teaching a Sunday school class like Miss Alicia is. As she grows in her knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she will teach it to her children, and that's why we should have generations of people in church. Educational. Again, as I stated prior, the culmination of biblical truth and the desire to be united with others in a common belief caused people to write and form confessions, statements of faith, and the famous acrostic noted for Baptists. Scripture is full of statements concerning the Word of God and what we are to do with it. Again, it is not exhaustive, but a simple study concerning it. Let me give you these verses and we'll close out for tonight. 2 Timothy 2. Watch these things. I'm going to highlight them as I read these verses of Scripture concerning the education of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. He says, if we believe not, remember, we're believers. He says, well, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. There's a lot of young people today deconstructing their faith. They're not deconstructing nothing. They're deconstructing their own warped mentality. You don't deconstruct the Bible. The Bible disintegrates you. And you know why many of them are just deconstructing their faith? Because somewhere they were led down an emotional role, or they were pressured into an invitation, or they were... Do you notice I'm not pressuring nobody during the invitation? I say this, if God has spoken to your heart, you know what I'm trusting in? That when the Word of God is open, He's speaking to your heart. And if God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to the altar to do something with what He challenged you to do. There's people that will hem you up in the corner and tears and emotions and everything else. And there might be a moment and a time for that. But listen, Charles Finney did that in upstate New York. It was called Decisionism. And now they're doing that at Youth Arise. And they're having hundreds of thousands of people getting saved and nothing changed. I remember the Burlington Revival when thousands were saved. And I called local pastors in that area and said, hey, anything happened? Nope, it didn't affect our churches at all. It was emotion. Music can lead you to an emotional decision. hemming somebody up in a corner and twisting scripture can lead you to an emotional decision. And then next thing you know, you've deconstructed it and you said, well, I didn't really believe anyways. No, you didn't believe to begin with. He said this, if you believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15, study. Education means what? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Study words, study phrases, study verses, study books. Study how everything lines up with one another. Do systematic theology. Do it on your own. You don't have to be a preacher to do it. You don't have to go to Bible college to do it. You have the greatest book by the greatest author with the greatest teacher. Let him transform your life. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of the God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Study. Concerning education of Scripture, we are to study it. In studying it, it protects us from others trying to overthrow our faith. Next, 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul said. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions. He said later on in that verse, he said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here's the other part of education. Verse 14, he said, but continue. You're to study it. You're to continue in it. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Miss Cynthia, are there certain stitches in the stuff that you do? Are there various stitches? Do you use all those stitches all the time? So when you do you have to go back sometimes and refresh your memory with those stitches? There's a lot of things I have to refresh my memory with. But a constant diet of the Word of God will keep those things prevalent in your mind. And when you really need them, God will bring them back to remembrance as well through the Holy Spirit. We're to study it. We're to continue in it. Concerning education of Scripture, we're to continue in it. Scripture is not a fair weather friend. It is a map and a guide in the journey we are on and protects us from others in our journey. And let me tag this on there because it happened with Timothy. Paul told Titus this, Titus 1, verse 9, holding fast the word of faith as he hath been taught. That is a nautical term, holding fast, anchored, not going to be moved. We sing the song, I shall not be. Moved from what? From what you believe. Paul said, I am persuaded. What's that? I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. We hold fast to that. God is true. Let God be true and all men liars. We educate ourselves and others in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4, Paul said this, and I'm done. Till I come, give attendance. Paul said, study it. Continue in it. Now he says this, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Can I say this? There will be more profit in your family with your children when you get ready to close her down for the night to sit down and read Bible verses with them rather than watch one of the new Marvel comic books. It will live inside of them. This GLOW program, this stuff that we do for these kids, it's scripture memorization. You see these kids. Don't think that Charity, that stuff's not being embedded inside of her. It's living inside. It's a living word. And when she gets to a place one day, God can pull that living. I don't know when I read, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, I can make as white as snow, and though they be white like wool, I can be red, crimson. You know that verse of Scripture? I don't know where I read that, but that night, February 27, 1993, 2:40 a.m., God brought that verse of Scripture to my mind, and he said, Mike, let's have a talk. You're a sinner. Your sins are blood red. I can make them white as snow. Would you come to me? And I did. If I can do that as a 27-year-old, Charity can do it as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old. Give attendance. Verse 15, he said, meditate upon these things. We're to study it, continue in it, give attendance to it. We're to meditate on it. Last week, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I sat out there as I watched the ambulance pull away, and I said, thank you, Lord. I said, I don't know what it was for. I'm going to tell you what, that was a rough day today, Bill. That was rough. He sat there on all fours, just like this, going, and I could not do anything. Called the paramedics, what do you do? And I said, I'm just under my breath, Lord. I'm not going to be afraid. We're going to give him a washcloth. We're going to do everything we know to do. But what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And you guess what happened? He just needed some water. Maybe our prayers change that, deacons. We meditate on it. Why? Because that verse you meditate on this week that God brings to your mind might be the very thing that keeps you intact. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Inspiration we see is very important regarding Scripture, but as important is education regarding Scripture. You can have 10 Bibles on the shelf all inspired, and yet if you don't ever read it, you will never educate yourself or others regarding the things of God. Paul shares several important aspects regarding it to a young Timothy, leading people to Scripture. Next time we're together, we'll look at inspiration, or we'll look at preservation. God preserved it. They chained these things to pulpits so that people had them. The Dark Ages, can I just say this and I'm done? The Dark Ages were not Dark Ages because they didn't have Thomas Edison's light bulb. If you're studying history, I know they're changing our school systems. The Dark Ages were not Dark Ages because they didn't have the light bulb. The Dark Ages were the Dark Ages because religious entities kept the Word of God from the common people. And the King James Bible is written at a third grader's level to the it's plowboy English. Why? So that everybody can make. And many times the most important verses are one syllable. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't God wonderful? And you know what He'd do? He'd preserve it. What's it? Psalm 12, 6 and 7? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's inspired, God-breathed. It's educational, it helps me. It's transformational, it's preserved. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle will pass from this thing. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Help us as believers to understand how important the Bible is. Thank You for the time we've had together tonight. Lord, I just want to praise You and thank You for a Bible. Thank You that I know more about You. I understand more about You. Things are more clearly. Eternity seems brighter. Tomorrow seems better because of all the things in Thy Word. Thy Word is very pure. Therefore, Thy servant loveth it. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Help us, Lord, tonight to love our Bibles as Baptist believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God spoke.